The Lord bless you and keep you this morning, this first Sunday of Advent. Our theme for Advent this year is centered around songs sung by Mary, Zechariah, Simeon, and the angels and shepherds, with their songs guiding us towards Jesus' birth. We will also be using the parting blessing from Numbers 6 to guide these messages. That blessing has been put to song, and we will close our Advent service, all of our Advent services, with that song. Today we look at Mary's song to guide us towards Jesus and the way that we are blessed and kept by him. Before we read the passage from Luke this morning, I would ask that we would pray together and pray that the Holy Spirit would open our ears and our hearts. Let's pray. Lord God of all blessings, we pray that this scripture reading will guide and lead us to our salvation and redeem and our Redeemer, Jesus. Open up our lives to your will. In this we pray. Amen. This morning we read from Luke 1, verses 39 to 56. Mary visits Elizabeth. At that time, Mary got ready and hurried to a town in the hill country of Judea, where she entered Zechariah's home and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leapt in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. In a loud voice, she exclaimed, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is this child you will bear. But why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me? As soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leapt for joy. Blessed is she who has believed that the Lord would fulfill his promises to her." And then we have Mary's song. And Mary said, "My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. For he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed. For the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is his name. His mercy extends to those who fear him from generation to generation. He has performed mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who are proud in their inmost thoughts. He has brought down rulers from their thrones, but has lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things, but has sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever, just as he promised our ancestors." Mary stayed with Elizabeth for about 3 months, and then she returned home. So far, the reading of God's word. During the Reformation, the use of songs in churches shifted. Many Catholic churches were used to using instruments and songs that had many parts that made congregational singing quite difficult. The Reformers, seeking to go back to the roots of the gospel, wanted music based on the words of the Bible. And they wanted songs that were accessible, easy to learn, and easy to sing. It has been said that in the fields around Geneva, where John Calvin did most of his ministry, you could hear people singing the Psalms. Why was that important? Well, because they were learning Scripture and doing it together in community and in worship, in song. There is power in music and in song to reach deep into your heart, to bring out emotions and feelings and draw you into worship. I mean, we've all experienced that. During a sad scene in a movie, there is sad music playing, drawing you into the scene and tears down your face. But that same set of moving images, it's not the same if you watch with the mute button on. So today, the music rolls on without being muted. For we look at a song from Mary, and we can rightly say that it comes from a deep place in her heart. Her song is powerful, and she sings in worship to the Lord. I invite you to be drawn into the music, the beautiful image of God's redeeming work in Mary's song, and be drawn into the blessing. The Lord bless you and keep you. But first, we need to wonder about the meeting of Mary and Elizabeth, a moment that feeds Mary's song. This is the first part of two sections that make up our Bible passage for today. The first is the meeting of Mary and Elizabeth, and the second is Mary's song. Mary is already pregnant with Jesus when she goes to see her aunt Elizabeth. And when Elizabeth hears Mary's greeting, the baby in her womb leaps. And she is filled with the Holy Spirit at the presence of Mary and her current unborn child. This is where we get our first blessed statement from Elizabeth to Mary. Blessed are you, and blessed is your child. Can't you just see Elizabeth beaming at this young woman? She herself in a glow of motherly love for the child in her own womb. It's a beautiful moment where Mary's presence with Jesus in her womb reaches out to Elizabeth, reaches out to the child in her womb, and John leaps. Yes, this leaping child is John the Baptist, who will prepare the way for Jesus and his ministry. Their relationship starts right here, before either of them are even born. John the Baptist is pointing ahead to Jesus, even from the womb. And we read that Elizabeth is awestruck and ponders the working of God. Why am I so favored? For Elizabeth realizes that she is but a humble benefactor of God's grace in this meeting. In humility, she is given wisdom. Through the Holy Spirit drawing out words from Elizabeth, we hear the first beatitude of the book of Matthew. Blessed is she who has believed that the Lord has what the Lord has said to her will be accomplished. The Lord bless you and keep you. In this blessing to Mary, I am struck at the word believed. That Mary is blessed because she believed, and that the believed what the Lord had said to her, and that she trusted that God would do as he says. And Mary believed and was blessed. The Lord bless you and keep you. So when we hear this blessing passed down to us from the book of Numbers and the people of Israel, we need to ask, do you believe? Because the Christian life is founded on a relationship with God. God reaches out to us through the Holy Spirit, and our faith can grow. We can believe that God is good, that he does care for us, and that he does have a purpose for our lives. Do you believe God's word for us today? Because we are blessed by God when we believe. And we know this because of the word of God, the Bible. Especially so as we see Elizabeth's baby already pointing to Jesus in the womb, pointing to Christ, pointing so that we can believe in God coming to us as a child in Jesus. Believe. Yes, we believe as Christians in our anticipation of Advent that we must take God at his word and be amazed at his involvement with the daily things of life, in the life of Mary and Elizabeth and our lives. Because God owes us nothing, though we who have trusted in Christ owe him everything. As John leaped in Elizabeth's womb, so our hearts too should leap in our chest as we consider the many blessings of God that we experience. Jesus is coming. We anticipate it every year as we look forward to the celebration of Jesus' birth at Christmas. And blessed is the one who believes. And Mary's response to the words of Elizabeth in the power of the Holy Spirit is with song. Her heart bursts with gladness and tidings of great joy as her aunt points to her blessing as the mother of Jesus. Now, Mary's song has two obvious parts, if you look at it closely, each of which point to Christ, just as the meeting of Elizabeth and Mary pointed to the birth of Jesus with the blessing of Mary. Mary's song begins with words that are more personal, more individual to her own situation, but they slowly become more general in the second section and more accessible to us here today as well. The Lord bless you and keep you. Mary sings her song of praise. She pours out her soul, rejoicing as she shares in these events. In the song of praise, Mary gives personal praise for her situation, and then she gives praise for God's activities in more general terms. Her personal praise is a pronouncement of what God has done in her as the humble servant of God, with an important line in the middle of verses 46 to 49, "From now on, all generations will call me blessed." The Lord bless you and keep you. Mary will be honored from now on by all generations, not because she is special, but because she is the model and representative of what it is to experience God's grace and mercy. Mary's feelings are clear. God owes her nothing, while she has received everything from him. Her story illustrates how God treats others, and she goes on to indicate that her story could be repeated 1,000 times over. God's mercy extends to all who fear him. Mary, this young woman, a girl, a young person in our eyes, holds the future of the world in her womb. And her praise goes up to God, and in humility she sees that she is not really anything special or worthy, but she is willing to be part of God's plan. This means everything, that she is willing. And I think that if we miss this kind of willingness today, The future of church will be in trouble. The blessings of God come to those who are willing to be part of his kingdom, to be a changing force. And it starts with us here today in this church, that we humble ourselves before the Lord and know that the Mighty One has done great things for us. I'm thinking especially with the youth and young people of this congregation. They are the future workers in the kingdom of God. Let's equip them with humble hearts of service to God. And how do we do that? Well, by example, that our lives would be a reflection of Christ for the next generation to see. My old boss was a wise man. I worked for him for 3 years at Calgary Christian School. His example of living and loving God was contagious, but also firm. He was no pushover to the faith. He held to loving God and loving people. I learned so much from his example in my life, one of which was to ask the question, what does it look like to do Christian maintenance? How is it different than just maintenance? Our answer was always in how we cared for the people as we did good work. Loving God and loving people. So each of us can ask that sort of question with what we're doing in our lives, be it our work or our home life. What does being a Christian plumber look like? Or a bus driver? Or a lawyer? Or a craftsman? Ponder what kind of example you are putting forward. In this way, the church thrives in all generations, following the will of God. This is part of God's blessing to keep us. The Lord bless you and keep you. Keeping you in the palm of his hands, keeping all of us that believe because he loves us and has thought of us as his kingdom workers, when he wants to do great things. God knows us, loves us, and has a plan for us, like he did with Mary. There's a quote going around the internet that goes something like this. When God designed a path for you, he has already factored in your stupidity. These are oddly comforting words. He knew Mary's heart, and he knows our heart. Let's ask him for a humble one. Because the second part of Mary's song extends to all those who fear him. We need God's help to build up the church, to raise the youth, to meet injustice, to use resources wisely, to speak kindly, to grow in faith, to be humble and willing of spirit. Why? Well, we read in Mary's song that God is all powerful. Why do we need God to do this? Because he has done mighty deeds. He's brought down rulers, scattered the proud, sent rich away empty, but also lifts up the humble, fills the hungry with good things, and been merciful to the descendants of Abraham and helped his people through all the ages. The Lord bless you and keep you. Those who turn to God can expect to show his love and justice on their behalf in a time that he deems appropriate. God does so because he remembers his promises. And what is God blessing us with? Is it wealth? We tend to view the rich and famous as blessed and powerful, as somehow favored by the divine. Yet this text makes it clear that God honors the humble and the poor. He sees them. While we often ignore them, God looks into their hearts, and that is where we are blessed, in our inmost being. Mary reveals God's character and attributes not as abstract expressions of holiness, mercy, and saving power, but in concrete relationships to people and in the detailed work of their lives. God's attributes are meant not only to be understood and worshipped, but they are to be experienced as well. To be seen in the everyday affairs of life, we are all under God's watchful eye. Mary and Elizabeth paint a picture of the believer's amazement that God sent his blessing. Their awe and reverence are evident as God was with them. If a famous celebrity came around these parts and wanted to visit you, what would you do? Would you prepare a meal? Probably. But what would you feel? If your favorite actor or video game live streamer came to your house, would you be honored? Humbled? I think we would wonder why in the world they picked us. And we would put care and consideration into the visit. It is with this kind of reverence and much more that we approach God. With awe, we wonder why he has blessed us and kept us. And even greater is how he did it. With the birth of a child and the sacrifice of Jesus as the perfect offering on the cross. Luke aims at the heart with these texts. Believers must take God at his word and be amazed at his involvement in the details of their lives. God owes us nothing. We who have trusted God and Christ owe him everything. Even so, we still read, "The Lord bless you and keep you." So in this time of Advent, we look forward to the one who will redeem the world. With word and deed, Jesus came to seek and to save the lost. And to those who humbly believe, God will bless you and keep you. Amen. Let's pray. Almighty God and Heavenly Father, in this time of Christmas, may we believe in you and in your Son, thanking you for blessing us and keeping us for a life of service to your name. May our hearts be transformed every day as we look to your word and guidance in the Bible, a transformation to humility, to willingness to serve you. For you have done great things for us and all around us. We ask that we fix our eyes on Jesus and anticipate his arrival this Advent season. Amen.